Word Jam.
Word Jam 12.
Dear folks at Word Jam, I was wondering if this writer of yours, Vern somebody, lives in Birmingham. There's this homeless guy that travels the downtown streets all the time, mumbling about sound systems and chickens. He's nice enough, but it's impossible to get him to stop for a minute so I can ask if he's truly this guy, Vern. Thanks. Hope you can help me here, because there are several of us Word Jam fans that would like to invite him for a drink or something. Sometimes just to hear him tell stories. Thanks. Hank Martin, super at the Department of Sanitation, Birmingham, Alabama.
Awaiting prolonged life. After they carefully removed all of my veins through a series of gentle tugging motions with their stainless steel clamps, the chrome bowl beside me contained a spaghetti-like blue mound of clogged vessels surrounded by small beads and splashes of blood. My heart is now directly connected to an innovative external circulatory system in an attempt to prolong my life by maintaining my heart until the latest Teflon veins are available to replace the organic blue ones. The doctors assure me that Unifactor Core is only 10 days from release of the new T veins, and they're hopeful that soon I'll be in line for the latest Eterno Heart, part pig, part plastic, and, of course, part Teflon. If all goes well, the procedure should keep me vital for another 40 years, that is, until the age of 100. If any system should fail, well, c'est la vie, or, more accurately, c'est la mort. The day passes slowly to the rhythm of the inhaling and exhaling of the pump that passes streams of blood through a roller coaster ride of looping tubes. I adjust my trusty tortoiseshell glasses on the tip of my nose to better see a reporter on television who is speaking about a boy in East L.A. who has tagged a 7-mile circumference of the downtown area with a sign readable only to the boy's posse. The announcer explains that the word posse refers to a group of taggers with whom the boy associates. I decide that if my new heart and veins take, then I will join a posse. A posse of old men with pig hearts. And I will leave an inscrutable tag on buildings and trains to let the world know, yes, I live. Yes, I exist. I have survived.
I'm standing outside the chain link fence at the tip of Bainbridge Island, looking out through the dense trees into the Puget Sound waters. I'm waiting for the 255 ferry to Seattle. I put out the spent cigarette that I shouldn't have been smoking in the first place and drop it into a sand-filled upside-down school trash can. I hear the ferry more than I see it. Bending my legs, I make my way to the long ferry entrance.
Banners hang from the ceiling. The local Bainbridge poet's words are displayed for all to read. Deeply rooted here, reaching outwards towards the light, I am growing strong. Carol Ann Barrows. Treehouse. I watch as the world of my youth is destroyed. My childhood treehouse torn down from the new houses. I watch as the once endless forests become measurable in yards, then feet. Griffin Dunn. I'm standing under the viaduct in downtown Seattle waiting for the free bus. It'll take me to the North Campus of the Art Institute of Seattle where I'm going to meet Steve. We'll be heading out into the world for some drinks somewhere in Seattle.
So how did you get into Bronx?
How did I get into it? Like, yeah. When I turned 21, I was hitting bars, and I just really had a thing for rum drinks. I thought they were great, man. All the Blue Hawaiians and Captain Cokes, Malibu, this, that. I just like sweet drinks back then. And then I like the flavored rums, like Cruzan Lime, Asardi, and there's a line that was a real cheap line that I'd like to drink straight with, called the Cabana. Just cheap rum, just kind of burgers, buy a bottle for $10. But it tastes so good, you can drink that stuff straight, you know? And then the Whalers, too. Anyway, I just got into that stuff. I got college. So when I was 21, I would go buy the wine. I'd get into the Boone's Farm and all that crazy stuff. Sweet, just nasty. Sweet, nasty. That's what Boone's Farm is, a headache in the bottle. And you know, they're still making all that stuff. Now they call it Arbor Mist and stuff. They still make all that crazy stuff. You know, different lines. But anyway, so yeah, as with anything, you start to learn that, well, all that stuff I drank when I was 21, 24, well, I mean, quite frankly, it's not even really rum. It is, but it's just the goofy stuff that can make overnight.
My grandpa was 4'11" and served in the Confederate Army.
Hello.
Jackson's the furthest I go. Second to Jackson, then you can, that's it. I don't go off the bus.
I like this bus. God, it's so hot in here.
See, the word on the street is that you have a nice bus here. No matter what you say. We're easily fooled.
Okay.
Well, do you drive a different bus than this one ever?
No, they had one like this one. It was like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And it don't have no power. I mean, it won't take off like it should. It's just...
So this one is the slow one?
All of them. Yeah, we have it out there. It's slow. They were better, and they were newer, and they smelled different, and everything. It was all nice. Real nice.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoyed the ride.
All right. Come back again. Okay, thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Interesting. It's a hard, that's your livelihood. It's a very hard livelihood.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. How's your stew?
Oh, it's fabulous.
Good.
So you were a shrimper.
Many years ago.
On the Gulf?
Long, long, long ago.
How long ago?
Like during the Civil War or after the Civil War?
When you were like 20?
Yeah, well, teenager.
Teenager, okay.
Yeah. You look like my old man.
I feel like you're an old man.
I used to be in radio myself.
Really?
We started in a dorm just wired to the to the pipe. We had the transmitter hooked to the plumbing. So
wow.
You had to tie your tape your antenna line. It used to be real independent. I think just 2 years ago,
did the FCC get in?
No, it was the school, the College of Journalism, I think, took it over. I had a show, kind of a man on the street thing.
Yeah.
And also had a just interviews, big old big-ass tape recorder, just, kind of in your face. Yeah, I did classical. I did time, it seemed like old rock and roll. I mean, it wasn't that old. It was just, you know, early 70s. Sure. I was trying to tell my kids the other day. My youngest was explaining to me about indie rock and how if you're called indie rock, it's no longer indie rock. Underground, when we were kids, so it was underground. And so, like, the local radio station in Charleston would play.
Work. What are you doing out here?
I'm with the Department of Homeland Security. So I'm out here to give a little talk. In Brunswick, there used to be the largest wooden structures in the world.
Huh.
A couple of blimp hangers.
So how big were those guys, those blimp hangers?
They were huge. They had their own atmosphere. And clouds, just like in here in Seattle, the clouds would form at the top.
Jeez. So what were they used for?
Ocean surveillance. Glencoe is what they call it. They couldn't call it Brunswick Naval Air Station because there was a Naval Air Station in Brunswick, Maine. So they call it Glencoe, which is sort of for Glynn County. It's for Glynn County, Georgia. Anyway, when the Naval Air Station shut down about 71 or 72, feds moved in the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. So now, except for the FBI and DEA and a few others, all federal law enforcement agents are trained.
Let's cross the street if we can.
We gotta wait for this car.
Building schools. So this year now it's 10 of us. We've dedicated a year to do service. So we'll be on the West Coast encouraging young people to stay in school to avoid violence, drugs, and alcohol. And we're also raising funds to go to Madagascar in the Philippines. So we're here, we drove up from all the way to the West Coast, and end of this week we're heading to Oregon, and after 2 weeks we head to California. Yes, I have a goal tonight of 200, please. If you can help me make it, whatever you can give to help. The reason why we do what we do is because God is love.
I hate Seattle. Okay?
Do you?
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from Portland. Your traffic is just... Don't rebuild that goddamn viaduct, man.
Don't.
Why
not? What should they do?
Way too much traffic going here. You'll never be able to handle it. You replace it, the amount of traffic you'll generate will be even worse than you've got it now. Oh, God.
You read about the Huntley a few years ago? This was a
submersible
warship. It was made out of a boiler.
Amazing.
And they
kind
of stapled the end shut.
Yes.
Stuffed about 11 guys in there. And they just kind of snorkel out through the harbor out to where the Union's blockade's sitting. And they ram. They had this big-ass, call it a spar torpedo, just a big explosive stuck on a 30-foot wooden spar, and they just rammed it into the side of the Housatonic.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And they backed away. They backpedaled like...
Yes. I got to get out of here, right?
Yeah. And so it was successful. The mission was successful, but the submarine sank. They dredged it up about 7 or 8 years ago. And so it's sitting at the old Charleston Naval Shipyard. It's a big archaeological find, but the funny thing is, when I was a shrimper 30 years ago, knew, you know, where they pulled the thing out of the mud? Everybody knew not to go there because you'd lose your nest.
Yeah,
this is Seattle. We're Microsoft here.
Hey.
Whoa, what is that, a microphone?
You can come back. That's why I kind of called because I was a little worried.
Okay.
I was just doing like a little time-lapse thing here. I'm doing this little film, which is a documentary about famous speeches and stuff. So there's something to do with Chief Seattle.
Okay.
A night on the town. I look out into the dark night, and an apartment complex of moving lights is approaching the Seattle dock. I put out the cigarette that I shouldn't be smoking, and I look at my watch. I'm in luck. I'll catch the 10:55 to Bainbridge this time. I hear the ferry more than I see it.
Word Jam 12.